Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
With respect to Pam Bondi, just amazing to me how low the standard has become. Basically, like, you're a good candidate if you haven't been the subject of a sex trafficking investigation. Okay, that's awesome.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night. And good luck.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to the Lincoln Project Podcast. I am your host, as always, Rick Wilson, and we are joined today by a very special guest, Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe, as many of you know, is a former director at the FBI. He was succeeded by Christopher Wray. Jeff Sessions during the first Trump administration. Just before Andrew left office, at the orders of Donald Trump, fired him. And Andrew has become an outspoken voice on the importance of the independence and of the FBI and the Department of Justice. And I wanted to welcome Andrew today because I think we are about to focus quite a bit on the independence of that agency as Donald Trump is trying to get Kash Patel to become the new FBI director. Christopher Wray has announced his retirement from the position early. So, Andrew, I want to welcome you to the show, and let's start out with the 30,000-foot view. Why is it important in this country to have an independent FBI?
Sure. So thanks, Rick, for having me back. It's great to talk again. So it's a good question, and it's not one that requires a theory to answer, right? We know what an FBI looks like that is too closely aligned with the White House. That's right. Who we were. That's where we came from under the era of J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover, who is, I think, pretty routinely vilified by most folks, and for good reason.
Yeah, rightly.
So, but what I think many people forget is that Hoover did the political, he investigated people, he tormented people, he used the awesome powers of the FBI to do the president's bidding. And I say that plural intentionally. Every president he worked for, both Democrat and Republican, right, relied on Hoover to be their, essentially their political henchman, their political enforcer. And he did it willingly because it brought him power that made him untouchable in DC. So we know what an FBI looks like that works at the direction of the president rather than simply following the facts and the law. And it was 50 years ago, basically in the post-Watergate era with things like the Church Committee and the Pike Committee, where all these FBI abuses of authority were exposed. That was the beginning of the reformation of the FBI. That's when we turned the FBI into the FBI that the American public knows and understands and expects, rightfully expects, to this day. So rolling back that clock, I think, is very, very dangerous.
Right. I think that few people alive today, have a direct memory of how dangerous it was in this country when you had an agency that was deployed to use all of its powers of surveillance and prosecution and every other thing against political opponents of a president. No one alive today really has experienced that kind of a political climate. But Donald Trump has put forward a guy named Kash Patel, who you and I both know, who is essentially saying he wants to be Donald Trump's agent of retribution. He wants to turn the FBI into that dark force again, turn the power of government against critics of the White House and of the president. Talk to us a little bit about how you saw that initial preview of that during the first Trump administration.
Yeah, I think We definitely experience that to a much lesser degree in our interactions with the new administration. This is in like 2017. Right. And it was in this, there was a series of interactions that Jim Comey had with Donald Trump that caused us to eventually realize that this is going in a very bad direction. You know, initially when they sat down and had dinner individually without anybody else at the White House, which in and of itself was a remarkably strange thing to do.
Yeah.
FBI directors don't hang out with the president for all of these reasons we've been discussing, right? They're intentionally not supposed to have a close relationship in that way. So Jim went over and had dinner with him. And Donald Trump made it quite clear what he wanted from
loyalty.
From Jim Comey was loyalty, personal loyalty to him. And so as these interactions kept happening, you know, initially we thought, well, he just doesn't understand. He's not familiar with the history where we come from, how important it is to maintain this level of independence for the Bureau. But gradually that kind of writing off out of context, strange interactions became harder and harder. And ultimately he brought Comey into his office and said, I want you to drop your investigation of Mike Flynn.
Right.
And that was the moment, at least for me. I remember Jim calling me on his way back to the office. It was a rare moment that I had left the office around dinner time. I remember because it was Valentine's Day. I was trying to get home on time for a change. And he told me about this interaction. I thought, this is not the machinations of an inexperienced person who doesn't understand Washington and how these things work. He's actually telling us to stop investigating someone, one of his friends.
Right.
And, you know, from that point forward, we realized that we were dealing with something, you know, potentially much more dangerous than just a lack of sophistication.
And as Donald Trump, you know, as he campaigned, he said he was going to be the retribution. He's overtly saying he's going to use the power of government. This really represents not only at the FBI, but the Department of Justice putting loyalists in. And luckily, we've avoided Matt Gaetz, who I know would have been a white-hot, flaming, nuclear-level disaster.
Yes.
And we've swapped him out for Pam Bondi, who I also know from Florida politics. She's less capricious, less dangerous, but is not going to stand up to Trump the same problematic nature is going to exist with Pam Bondi. When you look at the dangers of the Department of Justice, not just the FBI, talk to folks about why that is an even higher level of risk and uncertainty and danger to the country.
So the kind of DOJ main is fundamentally very different than the FBI culturally, right? The FBI, even at headquarters, and even more so in the field, but at headquarters for sure, is populated by people who are not in political positions, right? FBI employees, whether they are agents or analysts or professional staff, typically come to the FBI to work their entire career. People love it there. They don't leave.
Right.
It's a place they feel great pride about. They do not owe their positions to any political party or Senate confirmation process or anything like that. The only Senate-confirmed person in the FBI is the director.
Okay.
So there is a strong stability in that workforce from one administration to another. It doesn't, oftentimes the director doesn't even change, although we're on the precipice of that norm disappearing as well. But the workforce very much stays the same. That's not quite as true at DOJ. There are many more political positions. There's also a greater in and out flow of people from the department as lawyers learn more, get experience, then they go out into the private sector, and then sometimes they come back. So there's less stability there generally. So the injection of a much more highly politicized leadership of the Department of Justice really could have a direct impact on decision-making at the lower ranks. When people realize they start calculating the decisions they're making on any given investigation or department matter that they're handling, when they start having to bounce those decisions up against their internal sense of politics, how is this going to affect my career? Is this going to make me look like someone who's not loyal enough to the administration? That is when politics start influencing decisions about justice. And that is a terribly corrosive thing that ultimately works to the disadvantage to all Americans.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Someone said to me this morning in a discussion that there's a fear in some ways also that they will pick and choose prosecutions, as you just pointed out. Like, some people will not get prosecuted for, just say, corruption in Washington, what have you.
Right.
But someone said to me this morning, it's like, you know, the underappreciated aspect of it will be that civil liberties themselves will become threatened, and people will begin to fear their government as an agent against them in a way that that I don't think they have since Hoover.
Right.
And I was curious about your thoughts on that, because, you know, people have I think they kind of underscore or under evaluate the degree to which DOJ is there in part on the civil rights front to offer some protections to Americans that they may not even realize exist.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think it's important in two ways. One, you're going to have the leadership positions filled by people who are, in many cases, opposed to the purpose and the mission of those parts of the Department of Justice, right? So we saw this in the first term. They basically came out and said, we are no longer going to engage in consent decrees, which is the department's way of stepping into a local or state level police department and helping them reform. These are departments that are proven to have engaged in abusing people's civil rights and all sorts of abuse of force issues and basically treating the people they're supposed to protect unfairly. And they enter into these agreements with DOJ to kind of reform and retrain people and get away from those practices. Well, we know that Donald Trump and the folks he worked with the last time they don't agree with that. They feel like police departments should, I guess, be allowed to continue behaving in that way and violating people's civil rights and constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're going to get at a leadership level, people who are actually there to undermine that work. And then the second piece of that is all the folks who work in those critically important roles are going to now have to start doing that analysis that I was trying to describe before, where, like, do we even do this work anymore? Has this work become disfavored? And as those decisions are made, the people on the ground, the citizens who depend upon the department to come in and assist them in defending their constitutional rights, are going to be left with nothing.
That to me is, like I said, I was having this conversation with someone else this morning, and it just struck me that, you know, there's a sort of image of, oh, DOJ, they prosecute bad guys. They protect us from foreign, you know, foreign counterintelligence threats. They prosecute bad guys. And there's this, you know, unexpected or unappreciated aspect of this where civil rights in America don't, you know, at the federal level, are not going to enforce themselves, as they say.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in a way that you know, just emerges de novo. It's going to have to be something that the work and the effort of DOJ is going to be involved. And I just think that has now become a less front and center aspect of this. And with Trump, you know, if they end up saying we want this to be our revenge, this the agency. The FBI itself, the DOJ itself, I find that to be just a kind of chilling. So I want to ask you one question about the Supreme Court decision that basically said that, you know, executive immunities are much more broadly interpreted than they had ever been before. That to me strikes me as something that we haven't really grappled with yet as a test case. We haven't seen a test case of it yet. But it's coming. Yes. And I'm curious. I'm curious about your thoughts on how far even this Supreme Court will go in affirming that Trump's powers in that space are unbounded.
Well, I think that we were close to getting some indication mm-hmm. of how that this deeply flawed opinion by the Supreme Court would be implemented and it, you know, adhered to by the Department of Justice. We were close to that point in the January 6th case, which was just recently dismissed. Yep. So we missed our opportunity to see how that would actually happen. And we're back to just kind of guessing. But, and, you know, from my view, they've made it almost impossible to hold a president accountable for the things he does while he's in during his term, mm-hmm. whether those things mm-hmm. are official acts or expressions of clear constitutional authority or not, or just things that he said or did in the course of day-to-day work. It's they didn't set a clear standard. They just made some very strong statements about immunity and basically created this system where trial courts would have to litigate these things really extensively, and then ultimately they would end up back at the Supreme Court, and the court will then decide whether they did it correctly. Right. So it's an almost impossible legal. There is no. I don't want to say it's an impossible legal standard to meet because there's essentially not much of a standard in the opinion.
Okay.
Not a clear one. Not one that's easy to apply. And so I think in light of that, departments of justice will be very careful about not going close to what the line is. And that makes it essentially impossible to hold a president accountable. And I don't mean just Donald Trump. I mean every president that comes
right.
after him.
Right.
This is a wildly dangerous power that we have now placed in the hands of our elected leaders who we know from our own history are imperfect. And some are better
vastly.
Than others, obviously, and people have opinions about that. But many of them have proven to make some questionable decisions. And, you just have to shrug our shoulders in the future and deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that is a question that I've the idea that we, as a country, are comfortable with unlimited, broadly defined presidential powers like this is one that I think if one of my counterfactuals here, if Barack Obama had suddenly been given this power, I can assure you my former Republican colleagues would have been losing their damn minds.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day. It would have been a considered a national crisis of the highest possible order. But they aren't in that world anymore. They are now absolutists on executive power, and as an attorney and as folks who think about how government is structured, it strikes me that this is the most dangerous aspect of it. That Congress has abrogated most of its power. The court has now abrogated a lot of its power. I'm just curious, have we just lost our way on the legal front in this country to the point where we're going to have some sort of harder reset than we think about all these things?
Well, I mean, this opinion, I know they did other things last term.
Yes.
This is the one that eclipses everything for me. This one, yes, they totally lost their way on it. This is fundamentally un-American and anti-democratic.
That's small-D democratic, folks.
Small-D democratic. Not democratic politics, but democracy. This is one of the – it cuts against the reasons we became a nation in the first place. This is what we fought the Brits over.
Right.
We didn't want a king who was beyond any accountability to be telling us how to live. And that's – this opinion pushes us pretty hard in that direction. And, it's one of their reasonings is like what they pay such enormous respect and reverence to this idea that if a president is actually subject to criminal accountability on some level. And we already, we know the president's already had enormous protections from that, not the least of which is the Department of Justice policy to not ever indict or prosecute a sitting president. That any sort of accountability whatsoever would limit the president and chill his or her ability to make decisions. Well, my point to that is I want a president to be chilled by the thought of committing a crime.
Yes. Right?
Like, is that a bad thing that presidents might factor into their decisions? Like, if I choose A, that's clearly a crime and I might be held responsible. Like, there's not, that's healthy, I think. But, you know, that's, I guess that's why I'm not on the Supreme Court.
Again, the counterfactual is I know intellectually, you know, convenient and all that, but if this was a Democratic president in this same position, taking this extraordinary new degree and level of power and protection, I think this would be the shoe would very much be on the other foot. This would very much be a different assessment of whether this is a meritorious, you know, decision or not.
Right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let me ask you this. I think we, you know, we went through the moment where people were like, Matt Gaetz is not going to make it. He's too far out on the fringe. Pam Bondi looks a little more secure as a potential nominee. There seems to be less immediate concern over her. She's not, I can tell folks she's not great. I know her. She's not great, but it seems less like there's less concern of a Pam Bondi than there is of a Matt Gaetz. Where do you see the confirmation battles on, especially Bondi and Patel right now? I'm concerned that he's going to get her through, and that Ray leaving has sort of given some Republicans a little more running room to say, oh well, we've got to have an FBI director. We can't just leave it alone. That's sort of where one of my concerns right now.
I think that's accurate. I think with respect to Pam Bondi, it's just amazing to me how low the standard has become. Basically, like, you're a good candidate if you haven't been the subject of a sex trafficking investigation. Okay, that's awesome. We're shooting for the stars here.
But A plus. Yeah,
I think she's so much better. Although deeply concerning, I share your assessment there, but she's so much better than Gaetz that I think she's going to have very smooth sailing to appointment.
Right.
Kash Patel is, again, it's insane that people are actually considering him. He is, on any standard, profoundly unqualified for the job. It is an organization of 37,000 people, about 12,000 of whom carry guns every day. They work all over the world doing some of the nation's most important work. It is a $10 billion budget, $10 plus billion budget every year. Kash Patel has never run anything. He has never had a leadership position anywhere that I'm aware of. He spent, I think, almost 3 years as like a line level attorney in DOJ Maine. And that was after a short stint as a defense attorney in
Miami. Public defender, I guess.
So even his legal career is not particularly distinguished. You can compare him to any former FBI director appointed by any president, and he comes up incredibly short. He's also made it perfectly clear. His one strength is loyalty to Donald Trump. That is what his interest is. Get into that job and do whatever Trump tells him. So, which is deeply, you know, ironic to the point of hypocrisy that the crowd that ran on the promise of eliminating the deep state is now overtly promising to insert politics into right. these government institutions and use them to persecute enemies of the enemies of the presidency. So, but I haven't heard a single senator stand up and say, "Hell no, I
won't this vote is too much."
Not
right,
one.
This and right.
Mike, you know, you look at Hegseth and you look at Gabbard, two other, you know, two deeply concerning picks there. All along, I've thought the problem with the how quickly they essentially got rid of the Gates opportunity really opened the door for everybody else, because at some point, Donald Trump is not going to be denied. He wants to win is, whatever the game is, whatever the
right.
contest is. And I knew that at some point he's going to dig his heels in and start defending these people. And I mean, by defending them, I mean really coercing the senators who he sees as being opponents. And I think we're there. I mean, we saw it with Joni Ernst, right?
I think that's right. I think Joni Ernst just was a preview of that this week, where she said, what do I do to make all this pain go away? Mm-hmm. And the answer was, you do what Donald Trump tells you.
Comply.
And you comply.
And in a way, I mean, that I feel that way about Chris Wray's decision to resign. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not interested in giving a black eye to Chris Wray or anyone at the FBI. I think Chris Wray did a decent job. I disagree with him about many things probably, but I think he did a decent job as FBI director during a very hard time.
Yeah.
But the principle of independence of the FBI, as embodied in this rule of the 10-year term, is absolutely worth defending. It is part of the core of that post-Hoover, post-Watergate FBI that we talked about earlier. And the way to defend it is by staying until he is fired by the sitting president. That's not going to happen under Joe Biden. Make Donald Trump take public responsibility for destroying that principle.
That's what really strikes me as a major disappointment here is that there's nothing that would have, I mean, under no circumstances would Chris Wray have I think done this deliberately to hurt the agency, but I think he just didn't want to take the pain that these people are promising to deliver to folks.
Yeah, I mean, he said in his statement that he thought it was the best way to keep the FBI out of the fray. I got news for you. The FBI is not going to be out of the fray.
Yeah, the FBI's in the fray.
We're in it.
You're in. Welcome to the fray.
I think a better message he could have stood up at that all-hands conference and said, I'm staying just as you should stay. Keep doing your job. Mm-hmm. Keep living up to your oath. Do the right thing for the American people. And whatever happens, happens. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay until the sitting president
right.
He tells me I'm fired. You know, either way, Chris Wray is going to be fine. He's going to go back to a huge legal job and make tons of money. And his reputation is not going to suffer for being capriciously fired by Donald Trump. So I'm really disappointed in his decision.
It really is. It really is one of these things where I think the avoidance of short-term pain, unfortunately, will have some long-term damage and consequences to the country.
Yeah.
So
I think that's the chilling effect that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to start seeing that again and again in different agencies all across DC, across the country, as the administration gets set. You know, those are the sorts of calculations people are going to make. Like, I know what the right thing is to do here, but I'm just going to go along.
But it's just too hard.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is. I think it is an enormously dangerous moment that we're in. And I want to thank you, Andy, for your clarity and for holding up that standard of acknowledging and discussing the fact that if we don't maintain these institutions and this institution of the FBI in particular as an independent voice and body, the consequences are a lot worse than people can have anticipated.
That's absolutely right. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So, well, thank you again, my friend, for coming on the show today. We will talk to you again very soon. And tell people where they can find you on social media and anything else you want to promote.
I avoid social media like the plague, so there's none of that.
You're a wise man.
Yeah, I'm still doing my podcast, Jack, about the special counsel investigations. Right? We're going to wind that down, obviously, as those cases are done, but we're going to transform it into a new podcast about DOJ and what's happening at Justice. So
stay tuned
for that. And of course, see me on CNN and other spots.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, my friend, for coming on today, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Rick. It's always a pleasure. Have a great holiday.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joseph Wagner-Cheney. Produced and edited by Whitney Hayes and Jeff Taylor.
And good luck.
Hey, everybody. If you would like to get in touch, if you have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just general questions, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. That's podcast@lincolnproject.us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.